catch your file transfer software now. Microsoft violated a children's privacy law and replaced your Barracuda ESGs ASAP. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris and this is ThreatWire for June 13th, 2023. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Let's go ahead and jump right into the news this week. A critical vulnerability in the widely used file transfer program called MoveIt has been exploited by the Russian-speaking Klop crime group. The exploitation began over the Memorial Day holiday and continues to affect organizations both big and small. Several notable victims of the attacks include payroll service Zealous, the Canadian province of Nova Scotia, British Airways, the BBC, and the UK retailer Boots. These attacks have been described as widespread, targeting banks, retailers, the travel industry, and other entities as well. Researchers have discovered that the attackers are stealing data from compromised MoveIt servers within hours of exploitation and gaining shell access. The number of current victims is somewhere in the hundreds, but security experts anticipate that more victims will be revealed over time as those incidents become widely known and regulatory reporting requirements come into play. This is a SQL injection vulnerability, which is not unique and it's not new. By entering specially crafted strings into vulnerable website fields, attackers can manipulate web applications to retrieve sensitive data or gain admin privileges. The exploitation of this vulnerability was first observed on May 27th, with the Klop ransomware group confirming that this is the first date of attack, with the attackers installing a custom web shell, which is called Lemur Loot. Now, large volumes of files have already been stolen from victims' MoveIt transfer systems, and there are indications that the theft may extend to the Azure Blob storage. The MoveIt provider, Progress, patched the vulnerability, which is tracked as CVE-2023-34362 on May 31st, shortly after the attacks began. Social media posts confirmed the exploitation of the vulnerability by threat actors who were installing a file named human2.aspx on compromised servers. MoveIt promptly launched an investigation. They informed their customers, provided mitigations, and they also disabled web access to the cloud service. The company continues to work with cybersecurity experts, federal law enforcement, and other agencies to address the issue and combat the ransomware group. Formal attribution of the attacks to Klop came from Microsoft, while Mandiant linked the tactics and procedures used in the attack to a group called Fin11, which has deployed Klop ransomware in the past. Now, Klop had previously exploited another critical vulnerability in another file transfer service called GoAnywhere, impacting various organizations and causing significant damage. Experts anticipate that victim organizations may receive extortion emails in the coming days or weeks. Klop has stated orgs can reach out to them directly to negotiate and dropped June 14th as the date that they would start posting data online. As of this week, Horizon 3 published a proof of concept for the new patched flaw, as well as a technical paper and indicators of compromise for network admins. Microsoft got hit with a proposed fine having to do with COPPA. Now, COPPA is a federal law in the United States that aims to safeguard the privacy of children under the age of 13 on the internet. It requires parental consent for data collection, the ability to review and delete personal information, the option to refuse data collection, and the implementation of security measures for collected information, among many other protections. It stands for the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. Now, in a recent settlement with the Federal Trade Commission, or the FTC here in the US, Microsoft has agreed to pay a hefty to us, but probably not to Microsoft, $20 million fine. and it makes changes to its data privacy procedures for children. The settlement comes in response to allegations of violations under that COPPA law. Now, according to the FTC, Microsoft was accused of collecting and retaining personal information from children who signed up for the Xbox Live service without obtaining parental consent or even notifying the parents. The agency found that in some cases between 2015 and 2020, Microsoft even stored children's data on its server for several years. And from 2017 to 2021, around 218,000 US-based Xbox users created Microsoft accounts, indicating that they were under the age of 13, according to the court documents. Microsoft did not take appropriate actions required by the law, so the FTC alleges the company was in violation for several reasons, including these users were still asked to provide additional personal information, such as a phone number, and agree to Microsoft's service agreement and their advertising policy. The policy, until 2019, included a pre-checked box allowing Microsoft to send promotional messages and share user data with advertisers. As a part of the settlement, in addition to the fine, Microsoft must adopt several different measures to ensure compliance with COPPA going forward. These include informing parents about the additional privacy protections provided by creating separate accounts for their children, obtaining parental consent for accounts created before May of 2021 if the account holder is still a child, and deleting all personal data of COPPA-protected users if it's no longer needed for providing the original services. Furthermore, Microsoft is also required to delete all user data collected without parental consent, delete COPPA-protected user data within 2 weeks of collection, extend COPPA protections to third-party gaming publishers who receive user data from Microsoft, and extend COPPA protections to biometric and health information collected for creating avatars if combined with personally identifiable information. The court still has to approve a settlement, even though both parties have agreed to one. This is the second major children's privacy fine that we have seen this month, the first being Amazon's Ring privacy violations, which I had reported on last week. Biggest of shoutouts to my Patreon supporters, especially my golden s'mores and their fur babies, for making the show possible since we don't have YouTube ads on this show at all. And a huge thank you to Charles for being a part of the s'mores at patreon.com/ShannonMorse. That is my new Patreon page for the show. I am posting all of the perks for patrons, including early access to that video, over on that Patreon page. So if you are currently a patron on the ThreatWire page, switch on over to the new one so you don't lose access to your perks. Let's go ahead and finish out today's episode with my last top story, all about Barracuda ESGs. So Barracuda Networks is urging customers to decommission a whole line of their email security appliances due to a serious zero-day vulnerability, as in physically get rid of that thing, like yeet it off into the recycling bin of the devices completely, since they have no way of safely updating and patching them with software due to a malware campaign. Barracuda Networks discovered unusual traffic originating from their email security gateway, or ESG, devices, which are designed to scan incoming and outgoing emails for malware. They hired incident response firm Mandiant and identified the vulnerability, which was previously unknown, in the ESG appliances. All of this went down on May 19th and May 20th. They promptly released a patch, but here's where it gets kind of interesting. On June 6th, Barracuda surprised everybody by urging their customers to replace the affected appliances entirely rather than just applying the patch. They stated that impacted ESG appliances must be immediately replaced regardless of the patch version level. Barracuda will provide the replacement product at no cost, and not all ESG appliances were compromised. So approximately 5% of active ESG appliances worldwide have shown signs of compromise, and evidence of ongoing malware activity has been detected on some of those compromised appliances. Rapid7, a cybersecurity company, estimated around 11,000 vulnerable ESG devices are still connected to the internet worldwide. Security researchers believe the malware probably corrupted the underlying firmware and made itself persistent with backdoor access, so it probably stemmed from state actors, not your regular ransomware criminals. Barracuda recommends replacing the affected devices, rotating your credentials used on connected devices, and checking for indicators of compromise dating all the way back to October of 2022, which is when they believe the attacks actually began. This situation highlights the severity of the vulnerability and the lengths to which attackers may go to maintain access and exfiltrate data. It serves as a reminder of the importance of timely patching and proactive security measures. Hey, I'm Shannon Morris. Make sure you stay vigilant, stay secure, and I will see you next time on the internet.